Love goes a long ways, doesn't it? It does change our world one person at a time. When you're loving on somebody else, that love affects them, and then they get to affect those around them. And so it's amazing. Changing our world one person at a time, one small group at a time, one action of love, one prayer at a time, whatever that looks like, we are actively engaged as a church here, Beloved City Church. We want to change our world from the inside out, and by the power of the Holy Spirit invested in us and sent, being sent on mission. So today, that's what we're going to talk about, is we can change our world when we're actively engaged in praxis, the practicality of application of missiology, or on mission, being sent by God. And of course, that's why we started with spiritual unity, because when we understand that we're unified with the Father through Christ and through all the works that he's done by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, into our hearts, we become one with him as Christ was one. And we'll go into that just briefly. Jesus prayed in the garden before being murdered, "Father, let them be one as we are one, you and me and I and you." Spiritually being unified in Christ, Christ in us, the very hope of this world, manifested by the love of Christ in you and I, exuding to those around us, making Jesus known through love in action, through faith in actions. That's the practicality and the praxis of the gospel. Spiritually unified in Christ, again, by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Not unifying, because this is where it gets difficult. We often want to unify around who wears Jordans, and maybe you wear boots, or you're a cowboy, or you love Ford, and I like Dodge, or I know, boo, but Toyota, or whatever it is that you drive, or how you look, or where you live, what neighborhood you're from, or where you grew up. You know, those we often have unifying aspects of in those manners like that, where we drive the same thing, or we're from the same neighborhood, so we have a common interest, a commonality. We bond over that. But here in the gospel, in the Missio Deo, where we're sent on mission, sent by God, unifying around individual interests is not so much our goal. That's awesome to be able to do that, is to go bowling together because you love bowling. Our worship expressions, we love to worship, and so we unify with worship or in worship. And sometimes, but unifying around worship or unifying around manifestations through worship or sociological or philosophical perspectives, local and global political issues, the big word or the newest prophecy of the day, that's not what we often find unify in. It often actually contributes to tensions, and it's us versus them. And that's not that's exactly not what God sent us to be unified in, are those perspectives, but unified through Christ to the Father is what he wants us to be unified. So we're unified first in the Spirit, and then there's an expectation, there's an obedience that we walk in, so then we unify. What in that is? That is in missiology, or being on mission, being the sent ones, because once you're unified in God, there's a response that comes from that. Unified in Christ, that love gets downloaded in us, and that love transforms us, and that transforms us into a body that becomes missional, that wants to express that love. You can't contain this joy. This joy that I have bubbles over into the streets and affects those around us. And we've talked many times about the fruits of the Spirit and love and how that works through us. But what I'm pointing out today is unifying on causes outside of mission often creates and lends to tensions, which is not what we obviously are seeking for, is tensions and conflict. We have enough in this world already. So us as a body of Christ are looking to find identifiers and items and aspects of God that we unify around. These tensions that we mentioned often contribute to missional drift and a disunified, a disenfranchised body. So rallying around Jesus in a holistic and Christological centering, Christological if you like, is the paradigm that Jesus himself prayed for us to have. As we read last week, we'll read it again. We are one in Christ as Christ was one with the Father. And it blows our mind, I know, we don't understand it. As great as the mystery of godliness and the Godhead is something that's well beyond what we can fathom in our little finite minds. They're big minds. Oh, you guys have bigger ones than mine. That's okay. But being able to understand the fullness of God is something that is challenging for us to really grab a hold of. But yet it's the design that God has for us to live in, is being one with the Father. And that's what we want to have. The three pillars that make up the unity are spiritual, missional, and relational. Without any one of these pillars, the entire mission is at stake, and we often veer off in self-interest, and that's not what God has designed us to live in, is fulfilling self, but fulfilling the mandate of Christ himself, continuing in the earth today. So John 17, in verse 15, we read it. We'll read to verse 23. It'll be on the screen behind me, I think. If you do not have a paper Bible, I don't either, so don't feel too bad. If you do, great. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. This is Jesus praying to the Father before he was taken and murdered and crucified, praying for us, praying for those that he was discipling and leading. But again, to us, you'll see that. I do not ask, Lord, that you take them out of the world, Father, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth, Lord. As you sent me into the world, so I am sending them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, so I'm not asking just for these 12 or 20 or 70 or whatever it was, but also for those who will believe in me through their word throughout the earth, you and I. Verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a reason for why Jesus wants the world to know that Christ is in you, because when the world sees that Christ is in you through love, then the world knows that Jesus wasn't just a story or a fairy tale, but the world sees Jesus through you and I with love in action. When we're on mission, the world understands and experiences the very hand of God as you and I have experienced. Where are we at? Verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Jesus said, I'm sending them into the world as you have sent me. Jesus, who came not as a king, but as a servant, a bondservant, the lowest form of servanthood that he could come in. He served. He proclaimed the kingdom. So not just serve. We love to serve, but also he proclaimed the kingdom. He demonstrated what it is to proclaim kingdom life, kingdom investment, kingdom living. And he modeled love in unity with the Father so that the world would know that he was sent as an ambassador of God's love for you and I, and offer redemption for free, redemption without you having to pay for it. He paid that final sacrifice, that final payment that you and I could have access, untethered access to God the Father, our Lord, our Creator. Access, though, by faith through obedience. So we who are transformed by our spirits, we've been unified in Christ. We've been made one in Christ by our faith in him, our faith in the cross, and our obedience into turning away from where we were going to where we're going with him. Now we're following him in obedience. We are being made alive and have been made alive through the Holy Spirit, unified by the Spirit of God poured into our hearts through faith. We as followers of Jesus walking in obedience to God become the very heartbeat of God in our earth, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in your lineups, in the airport, at the bus stop, wherever we are, our neighborhood, our family, our estranged family, whatever that looks like, it goes on, but we become the very heartbeat of God when we're unified with God through the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts through faith and obedience. So the missio Dei, or day, or mission of God, or literally sending of God. See, Jesus himself was sent by God to fulfill a mission. And we're going to read in a few moments on how we are to sent, just as he acted in obedience as God sent him, Jesus, his only son. And now Jesus prayed that as I obeyed you and you sent me, I now send them. We are the continued missio. We are the continued sent ones in the earth today on mission in partnership with God through the Holy Spirit. Making way, not just for us to be able to live in right relationship and righteousness, in right standing with God, but for others to be able to explore and feel and be transformed by that same sanctification of truth transfigured, transformed by the working of love, which is God. Love is God. God is in you through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. That transforms you, and you become all that God has designed you to be, and you are sent one, and that's part of your design as well. So we, in obedience, we continue his mission on earth to seek those who are stuck in lostness, stuck in darkness, stuck in confusion, separated from God and far from the truth and the sanctification of the truth. We get to be, because he already did, we get to be on mission with Jesus. We are the sent ones of God now, continuing the mission of Christ on the earth. So what do? We intentionally engage in the continued mission of Jesus Christ by gospel proclamation. How do we proclaim the gospel? Sometimes we proclaim it through our actions, but we also can proclaim it through our words. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus, proclaiming the kingdom that has come, and now we are agents of the kingdom, laborers in the kingdom. We are kingdom-minded, kingdom-invested. We, the kingdom of heaven, the good news of Jesus, proclaiming through love that they too, those that are far from God, may know him as we know him and be transformed into his likeness, as you and I are being transformed into his likeness through love. I've got a picture here. Our mission is not the moon anymore. Our mission is not to explicitly explore the world and explore the mountain. Hey, I love going hiking. I love swimming. I love seeing what all God has created. But my mission is not to explore the vastness of this earth and head to Mars. And that's not my mission as a kingdom agent. It's amazing if I get to do this someday. Maybe I will. That would be me. I'd crash land on the moon, I'm sure. But that's not our mission. Our mission is not Mars. It's not the moon. It's not explicitly to explore the universe. But Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, you remember the story a little bit, I'm sure. It says, and Jesus said to them, Jesus was walking the earth at this time, and he calls out to some fishermen and says this, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And verse 18, their obedient response was, they immediately left their nets and followed him. So come follow me, I will make you a fishers of men. And they did. So Jesus called his followers, come and I will make you fishers of men. He does that perfect work in you. He makes you the fishers of men. We are the missio. We are the sent ones of God. The apostles, the prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, each in our God-given gifting, in our each uniqueness, joined in mission hand in hand with Jesus to rescue those that are far from God. Those that are far, we've got some pictures. I wanted to use some pictures this morning to kind of shake up a different side of your brain, the left or right, whatever side the creative side is, and help us put some perspective into those that are around us. And sometimes we think of the faceless people around us, and sometimes we think of the ones that we know in our lives. But the faces you know and see even now are reflecting in your minds, remembering those who are you are affected by, those who are affected by your premise or your proximity, those who are affected by what you're doing, which would be family or siblings or children or your workmates, your boss, all those individuals right now that you know that you're in close proximity to. You may not know them even, but we are in relationship with people all around us. And sometimes we forget that even in our context of working and doing our thing and providing and living and breathing, that the faces around us almost become faceless when we think of it through the lens of mission or the lens of being sent ones into the earth today. But reflecting on those faces, even now I pray, Holy Spirit, come and allow us to see those faces right now in front of our eyes of those who you've put in our life that you are already stirring in their hearts and working in their hearts, and we get to be that drawbridge. We get to be that on-ramp to what God wants to do in their life through his perfect will, through his design, by us being on mission, joined together, being one with him. in spirit and now in mission, reaching those that are far from God and being a part of that rescue mission, where they too get to be a part of this wonderful family and this bride of Christ that sometimes we don't look at as beautiful, but God says it's a beautiful bride. And there's so many around us that are needing transformational encounters with the Father, as you and I have had and are still having encounter with our Lord and Savior. Our next picture, those that are lonely, those that are self-medicating, those who are empty, afraid, poor, even the rich, the enslaved, the disenfranchised, the unsuccessful and the successful. That everyone would come to repentance and have eternal life is the will of our Father. In 2 Peter verse 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should have eternal life. All can be a part of his body. That's his perfect will, is for us to be the continuation of his perfect will when his son Jesus came to earth to do his will, that we too are partnered in Christ now in the earth on mission with Jesus. In Matthew 28, you know the passage, and if you don't, we'll read it. Jesus, before he left the earth, he left us to continue in his footsteps and commanded as such. In Matthew 28 and 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So just in case you don't believe that this obedience is required, first off, the authority in Jesus Christ, everything, all the authority of all principalities, all power was given to Jesus. So what does he say with all that power and authority now? He says, go, therefore, in verse 19, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, and some say to obey, all that I have commanded you. And behold, don't forget, I'm always with you. You're not doing this on your own. It's not on your own accord, but it's by me. The Holy Spirit in us now is always with us, giving us the strength and courage, the words, the wisdom that we need to continue being on mission as sent ones in the earth. I'm with you to the end of the age. We looked at this before once upon a time. We broke this English down in this scripture, and we realized that there was more to it than just going once in a while, but it was a going on a continuum. So it's not about just going to a missions field or going far across the world or going once a week or once a year or once a lifetime, but it's an ongoing. It's a participle. Disciple is the verbal imperative without the noun. So it's as you're going, as you're baptizing, as you're teaching, disciple. It's like as you're running, jump. The imperative verb is disciple. So what we are called to do is to reach those that are far from God, bring them into our family. Hey, come follow me as I follow Jesus. As I'm learning how to be a disciple of Jesus, I am automatically turning and helping someone else be a disciple of Jesus through the actions of the Holy Spirit working through me. And you, as we pray, as we read scripture, as we reach out and help those that are far from God, as we serve through love and actions of love, it's us. The imperative noun is disciple. As we're going, whatever we're doing, whenever we're going, whenever we're baptizing, whenever we're teaching, disciple. As a team, a body, a family, a tribe, we are actively engaging and engaged on mission as individual parts of a greater whole. I mentioned last week that a bicycle doesn't go very far with just a tire or just a pedal or just a steering wheel or handlebar. It has to have all the pieces together, just like a body that's fitly joined together by what God's grace and God's merit and God's gifting and how God puts together and he builds. But we are now a whole, one as a part of a whole, that little Lego block that now becomes a part of the temple of God. All of us uniquely fit together and we become one. In Christ, one in unity, one on mission, and one in relationship. Individual parts of a greater whole. Team playing, kicking the same ball in the same direction. We are working together as one team, rowing in the same direction, pedaling in the same direction. What is it? We're Missio Dei. We're sent from God. We're on mission. We're continuing the same mission that Jesus started and said, I'm going to give these people the Holy Spirit and all the glory you have given me. I've given them as well, and I'm sending them as you have sent me. They have a job to do, and in obedience, when we walk in faith and we exegete our community, God always spoke to a people group. When God speaks to an individual, it's for the transformation of a people group. Even in time past, we read in the scripture, God didn't come solely for an individual, but for a people, for the earth, for every bit of mankind. The scripture was written to a people. We engage as a people group. We do life as a people group. We intentionally foster community. We are the gathering. We are the ecclesia. We at Beloved are missiologically engaged in working together, being disciples who make other disciples. This is the obedience unto the Father, is continuing on mission as he set forth the precedent from the beginning of time. Followers of Jesus bidding others into our lives, inviting them to my table to eat, inviting them into my bowling league, inviting them into my whatever it is that I'm doing. I do it with someone else as far from God, not just with my Christian friends, but I bring those that are far from God into my relationships. And now the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, the transforming love now begins to work through me into their hearts and souls. We get to be on mission, doing life together, being relationally engaged, giving away the same good news that was given to us, discipling through literal action and praxis. We read scripture together. We pray together. We model what that looks to pray. It doesn't have to be immense, wonderful, philosophical prayers. It's Jesus, I love you and I need you today. When you model that in other people's lives, it gives them the same courage to say, Jesus, I love you and I need you today. Guess what that does to that person's life? The transformation it starts to bring. Praying, but not just praying now, walking in belief, walking in trust, in surrender, practicing of self-disciplines, following Jesus in obedience, serving and proclaiming the kingdom. Not just by yourself. Don't do life alone, but do it in groups. Why groups? Groups learn and retain learnings longer as a group than any individual. When you do life together with a group, the knowledge that is passed into a group is easier retained than when you're by yourself. I know that from experience. When I'm with my family and I forget which way I'm going or forget whatever it is I forget, one of them is sure to say, Dad, or whatever it is, and help me remember that step that I'm taking, help me remember that action I was just doing or what that's supposed to look like, doing life together, finding freedom together. It's an accountability thing. It's an encouragement thing. It's a responsibility, finding freedom, healing together, equipping one another as ministers of the gospel. Building up one another, activated in your sentness. Wow. The collective is stronger together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Can you imagine what a 25-person cord is like? What a 15, what an 8? It's not easily broken. It's not as easily disenfranchised. It's not as easily disconnected and isolated. Together at Beloved City Church, we desire to learn the Bible in context, to study it, to apply it, live it out loud. But the Bible isn't the mission. The mission has a Bible or a roadmap. At Beloved, we believe in gathering as parts of a whole. We gather and we celebrate one on Sunday morning, and in our small groups, in our coffee shops, we celebrate the unity, the oneness, and the sentness of his body still in existence today. But the church isn't the mission. The mission has a church. We believe we are the incarnation of Jesus in the earth still today. The full embodiment of Christ fulfilled in purpose through missionalized body of Christ through a missionalized people group who are actively engaging and seeking those that are far from God and inviting them into my life. We do life together. We are on mission together. It's not about my favorite worship band. It's not about my favorite running shoes. It's about Jesus and making sure that everyone around me gets to know the same Jesus that I know. What a beautiful thing. The incarnation of Jesus. The mission existed before time even existed. The mission was always about humanity being in relationship with God. It's about relationships in Christ. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all." I'm just going to help us try to understand what that looks like sometimes to reach those that are far from God. "I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." Verse 20, "To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law." Verse 21, "To those outside the law I become as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ." Why? "That I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them its blessing." Verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one that beats the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul's one aim was to gain men and women, to gain others, to see others saved. That was his main aim in life. Letting go of self, letting go of my comforts, letting it all go so that I may gain one more for the Lord. No competitor for an earthly prize would supersede himself, is what Paul says, in his sacrifice for this crown of rejoicing. Denials, hard training, the severity of training and the severity of discipline are required subjection in the earthly attempt to win a game. If anyone's ever played a sport or worked out to build muscle or to be a boxer or whatever it is that you do in your life, you train hard in order to achieve the goals that you are looking to achieve and win the fight, win the game. Us too. Why is it so strange or eccentric, Paul is saying, to seek to gain new lovers and followers of our Master, Lord and Savior? I want to work hard to see those that are far from God come close to God, that some other person might be found and saved and see the Lord as their Savior, as their Master. It's not strange or eccentric. Train hard, not in a legalistic way, but because you're transformed by the love and passion of the Father who you are united in, and you are the mission, you are Missio Dei, you are the sent ones by God to reach those that are far away from Him. So application of missional unity in our context today requires us to become as Paul did, to win some. To do so intentionally, to be equipped, to be trained, to be developed so as to gain one more for the kingdom of Jesus. What do? We exegete our city. We work to understand our city. We work to interpret our city. Our fellow citizens, our friends that are around us. To learn the language to speak, to learn how our city thinks, behaves, reacts, the deep-seated intrinsic needs of our people, our fellow humanity. We learn to culturally contextualize our city, our fellow citizens and friends. The contextualization is to communicate the gospel in word and deed and to establish the church in ways that make sense to people within their local cultural context. Presenting Christianity in such a way that it meets people in its deepest needs and penetrates their worldview, thus allowing them to follow Christ and remain within their own culture. Essentially, contextualization is concerned with how the gospel and culture relate to one another across geographic space and down through time. This mission that we're on requires some homework sometimes. I don't want to isolate and just be, like I've said before, have the heaven punch card pass. I've done that good deed. Another good deed. No, that's not what it, it's not about just getting to heaven, people. It's about reaching those that are, we're on mission with God. And when we walk in obedience, we exegete our communities. We are reaching our community with the good news of Jesus so that we might save one more. Relating the gospel and the church to culture in a local context. Cross-culturally making Jesus known as irresistible and universally relevant and challenging still. This gospel is still challenging. Abandoning our preconditioned interpretation and versions of the gospel for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of God. It's not about fighting about our theological and philosophical viewpoints, the big T and the small T theologies. It's just simply being on a mission with Jesus, that they too might have that same powerful encounter that transforms them and allows love to flow through them, and they exegete and they work into their community. They know their neighbors and they talk to their neighbors, and they are the agents of God on mission. Planting and growing indigenous contextualized beloved communities, little cadres of groups gathering together under an umbrella of a household or under the umbrella of a tree or under the umbrella of an ice arena. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but I am passionately involved in mission with God. And we too get to unify around that mission, not all the rest of the stuff. I'm getting excited, aren't I? You guys are really quiet. Oh, Jesus, the results directly, this results directly from our faithfulness to and oneness in God himself, who was sent. So we too are sent as servants, even unto the death of my own purposes, or even unto the death of my own self-will, even unto the death of ourselves, just like Jesus himself. Obligated and obedient in searching for ways that good news can become more deeply lived, celebrated, and shared. Tweet it. Obligated and obedient in searching spiritual unity. I'm almost done. Missional unity, relational unity to see kingdom impact and advancement. All three pillars are needed equally. Without one of the building blocks or pillars that cradle unity, so beautifully unity breaks down, deteriorates, lends to missional drift, man-pleasing, self-ambitious, individuality, autonomous thinking.